Furthermore, yet another element no less significant than the ones previously mentioned was added to the mix, creating difficulties for transformation. Because beyond the influence of tradition and the inherent risks, their teachings were not only more demanding, but they also challenged men to move away from what was comfortable and easy. They called for a transition from fornication to chastity, from a love of life to various forms of death, from overindulgence to fasting, from laughter to tears and regret, from greed to ultimate poverty, from safety to danger. And overall, they demanded the utmost discernment. For the instruction was, let there be no obscenity, foolish talk, or crude joking which are out of place. And they were delivering this message to individuals whose lives were primarily centered around debauchery and pleasure, people engrossed in festivities fueled by obscenity, laughter, and all kinds of revelry. Therefore, the doctrines were not just burdensome due to their rigorous lifestyle requirements, but also because these were being conveyed to individuals accustomed to a life of casual indulgence, lewd behavior, careless talk, and unrestrained festivity. How many of those formerly engaged in these activities, having heard the words, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me, and I did not come to bring peace but a sword. I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother," wouldn't have been dismayed, who, upon hearing, "Anyone who is not willing to say goodbye to home and family and possessions is not worthy of me," would not have hesitated or even refused. Yet there were individuals who, far from being intimidated or deterred by these words, eagerly embraced them and energetically met the challenges, willingly accepting the teachings. Furthermore, when told, "We'll be held accountable for every casual word we utter, and anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart," or "anyone who is angry without a valid reason will fall into hell," which people of that era wouldn't have been scared off. Nevertheless, all were enticed, many even leaping over the boundaries of the course. What then was their motivation? Wasn't it clearly the power of the one being proclaimed? Because if the circumstances were reversed, convincing the reluctant ones to persist wouldn't have been any easier. Thus, in every possible way, the divine power of the one who performed such remarkable work becomes evident. Otherwise, tell me, how did they persuade the casual and the reckless individuals to follow a strict and tough way of life?